Hello and welcome to Walk the Pod, your daily walking show where I take my podcast for a walk because I don't have a dog. You're very welcome along. It's episode 7, series 45. And I'm walking my local streets and tempting you away from your desk to do the same, to walk in nature, perhaps under some cherry blossom. Seems to be a lot of that about in the UK at the moment. Thinking about uncertainty, this series, and today I want to talk about one of my favourite subjects, uncertainty and radical self-trust. Welcome to Walk the Pod.
I'm actually on a walk, but I'm not doing episodes at the moment, as you know. A few random thoughts about uncertainty. Perhaps there are three. I'll probably have forgotten the third one by the time I get there. The first one is that, as you've heard me say many a time, one of the ways we try to reduce the uncertainty in life is to create what I call maps of the future. And sometimes happenstance breaks those maps, rips them up, prevents us from believing in them anymore, and that makes us feel uncertain. But it's important to remember that the maps themselves were never more really than crutches to make us feel that we could see where we were going, even when we couldn't, because nobody ever can. As somebody once said, nobody has any idea what's going on any of the time. So that's number one. Number two would be that sometimes, this is apropos your point about uncertainty and joy, the phenomenon of feeling that you're in a sort of comfort zone, everything's going swimmingly, you've got it made, is surprisingly often accompanied by a feeling of dissatisfaction. And very often at that moment, we do something that unsettles our life, that deliberately smashes whatever map it is that we've made for ourselves, because it gets quite tedious to be able to see exactly where we're going all the time. So that's the second. And then the third, which is very much back on my podcast theme, is that I've been thinking today about what's going on in AI. And I reckon that it's going to smash our maps more convincingly and thoroughly than perhaps anything that's ever happened to us except the Second World War. Because I think that the assumption we all have worked with all our lives is that the shape of the world is dictated by how good you are at school, how clever you are, how many qualifications you get, how you get a job by being qualified, how creativity is everything, how innovativeness is everything. And I can quite see that that's shaped our worldview. But I think that we're already able to see that those criteria are set to change, and that the map that we have of how life works, along the lines of work hard, qualify, get a good job, be successful, that whole trajectory is really coming to an end, or if not to an end, then certainly to a point where it's going to be redefined. And I'm sorry, that's much more than 90 seconds, it's 193 seconds, but you can split it into three bits if you like, I don't mind. Bye!
Thank you, Dad. My dad there, talking about how the world is going to change because of AI. I think it is. I think one of the ways it's going to change is that we will have to work less, which is going to be wonderful when we get there. The first bills about 4-day weeks due to the efficiencies of using artificial intelligence are just popping up in America. So maybe we'll all have to work less in the future in terms of how many days we're expected to be in the office. And about time too. Yes, very, very interesting. And the points you make, Dad, about how we make a map for ourselves in terms of what's going to happen in the future, and then we use that as a sort of crutch to make ourselves feel better, sort of feeds into what I want to talk about today, which is radical self-trust. I think uncertainty is distressing because ultimately we don't trust that we can get through it. We don't trust that we ourselves are capable of getting through it, I mean. And so if we can engender a sense of radical self-trust within ourselves, then the uncertainty is not quite so threatening, because if I trust that I will get through this period of uncertainty and I will get through it well and I will thrive in the new normal, not easy to do, but if I can do that, then uncertainty doesn't strike me as quite so worrying. And as Sam was saying yesterday, maybe we could even flip it and see it as an opportunity. Now, this might seem like a particularly obnoxious gung-ho attitude, and indeed it will seem like a particularly obnoxious gung-ho attitude to many people, but I think it is simply a sort of segmentation of people and how they think about things, whether they find it obnoxious or actually quite reassuring. I started making this podcast in November 2020, when I didn't have very much of a clue what was going to happen to me in terms of whether I could survive, whether I was going to get a job that I liked, how I was going to navigate a period of significant uncertainty in my life. And I'm entering into a period of a little uncertainty in my life now, and I have to reassure myself and remind myself that when I had that period of much bigger uncertainty in 2020, I got through it. And not only did I get through it, I got through it to a place that I'm now very pleased to be in, with people around me that I love very much and work colleagues that I like and a job that I enjoy and a place to live that I like very much, and two cats that I've adopted to boot, who are excellent. So, you know, that didn't go so badly. There's no reason why this next period of uncertainty is going to end badly. And if it does, well, then I'm in a period of slightly bigger uncertainty. But it's not like I haven't navigated one of those before. So it's interesting also to hear Dad talking about how when we find ourselves in a position which we can predict, we then immediately get bored and throw it all up in the air and see how it lands. Speak for yourself, Dad. I'm not sure I do that proactively as such, but maybe I'm kidding myself, maybe I do a little bit. But look, I mean, I think it's it is sort of a change and a risk appetite question about whether you do that or not. Some people do that, some people absolutely don't. Both approaches are valid. What can I see directly in front of me? Well, it is starting at last to look a little bit spring-like in the UK. It's not the most beautiful day in the world. It's actually very, very overcast. We've got 8 solid octaves of cloud above. It's not warm, but earlier today there was sunshine. And when the sun comes out, it just seems spring-like and wonderful immediately. So actually, it means that all we need is a clear day, and suddenly everything feels like it's going to be all right. And we're going to survive all the way through the spring and summer and have a lovely few months. So it is sort of getting its act together gradually. The clocks will spring forward quite soon, and we'll get a little bit more light eventually in the evening. Sam did point out to me that actually it doesn't get lighter in the evenings immediately, but it does get lighter in the morning, of course. So it takes a while to sort of get into anything you could really call spring or summer. But, dear friends, it is coming. Unless you're Kiwi Rob in New Zealand, in which case it is not coming, it is going. So, Kiwi Rob, you'll just have to forgive the sort of joy and relief from this end of the world about the oncoming spring as you're sort of approaching autumn. But presumably you've got some beautiful colours and things to look forward to. Walking under a tree with the bark peeling off it and catkins overhead. Walking past some rather tired looking window boxes. Look like they've seen better days, and if I'm breathing quite heavily, it's not because my breathing is particularly bad at the moment, it's more just general non-fitness. Walking past the beautiful magnolia tree, which has a glass mushroom underneath, along with some real, not glass, daffodils. House opposite has some solar panels on the roof. It is absolutely lovely to get away from my desk just for a bit, for a bit of a stretch of the old legs. Thank you for walking with me, dear friends. It has been an absolute delight to amble with you this lunchtime. I hope you've managed to get away from your desk as well. Still interested in your thoughts on uncertainty for the rest of the series. We've got three episodes left after this one. It is Gratitude Tuesday, although I haven't mentioned it on the pod so far, so I'll be putting a Gratitude Tuesday prompt on the Discord server for the Walk the Pod Lunchtime Walk Club. And if you've been thinking about joining the Walk the Pod Lunchtime Walk Club, have a look at all the tiers of support you can join on by going to walkthepod.com, press the button marked Join the Club, and have a look at the tiers. You can be on a tier where you get a shout out at the end of the series, which will be on Friday, or you can join on the quiet tier, where you will simply get a silent nod of acknowledgement from me with a thank you to everyone who supports on the quiet tier at the end of the series, and whichever one you prefer is available to you. Lovely merch available via Patreon, which you can't get any other way. Stickers and woven patches of the show's artwork designed by Tristan Mitchell of the Bigfoot Studio in Cornwall in the southwest of England. And just a lovely community of walkers who were walking all over the world, including the Netherlands, northern Spain and New Zealand. We'd love to have some poddies in other countries. So if you're listening from India, from Canada, from America, from Greece or Germany or France, please consider joining the Walk the Pod Lunchtime Walk Club. It would be wonderful to find out where you walk and what you can see directly in front of you. So do check that out. Take care of your beautiful minds, dear friends, yourselves and each other. I wish you glimmers of joy in this imperfect day. Don't forget to do your Gratitude Tuesday practice, and I will be back tomorrow with episode 8.